Counsel?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to report out on closed session items I-1 and 2. On 1, the board met to consider the appointment for the position of county counsel. No action to report out of today's closed session. And on number 2, the board met and conducted the public employee performance evaluation for the position of public defender, and there's no action to report out of that as well. Thank you.
We kept them. That's an action. All right. Move us on to our CAO. Oh, public comment. Sorry. Only one name on the list, but that doesn't preclude anybody else from talking. Charles L. Ciancio. And I think I threw it out.
Chuck Ciancio, Cudden resident. With the messes in the world, it's left you Humboldt County supervisors with all the local problems squarely on your shoulders. I've given you a handout of some thoughts of mine, as I always do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think today I'll focus on the last handout regarding fire. Being a field forester, and after many phone calls and many years in the field, going on 50 years, I have appreciated fire. Fire can be good in the right place in the right time, in the right way. But I think those in control of fire aren't doing what they can to stop a lot of things. Slower growing trees are forced to compete for water, sunlight, and nutrients. Preservation areas and snag recruitment areas, dying trees provide carbon to the atmosphere, which increases carbon in the atmosphere. Appreciate safety practices, but with firefighter injury and deaths occurring, I have to wonder if not putting a fire out as quick as possible and letting fires burn across whole drainages does not increase the probability of firefighter injury and death. Having seen road access help stop uncontrolled fire, such as the Leggett Fire, and I'm familiar with that area because I worked in it, I know prevention of properly placed roads can be used to control fire, and not putting improperly placed roads is going in the wrong direction. Knowing about uncontrolled fire stopping at full and properly managed timber areas, I see efforts including excessive regulatory constraints and loss of incentives to manage timber on private ownerships, especially in California, going in the wrong direction. I read firefighting budget and cost to taxpayers to fight fire is strained and over the top, and handling of our wildlands and the pressures to increase fire fuels is increasing in an increasing amount of uncontrolled fire in California and all over the country is showing. When not delaying and promoting full and proper use of our timberland wildlands, putting more responsible people and equipment with the ability to fight fire in the woods, and providing incentives to protect livelihoods and private property versus the pathetic taxpayer-funded, now push small potato thinnings, fuel reduction and brush and clearing projects, we can do a lot more to stop uncontrolled fire and reduce global warming. I think you folks might want to think about those things. Those running or managing fire are doing a lousy job or forgetting some things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken Swatsky, good afternoon. A lot of what Chuck says is true. I think they're doing a little bit better job of managing our fire around here now that we have a little more local control with, I think, District Supervisor Merv George Jr. and some of our local people that are staying on our Forest Service grounds and have a little bit better of a knowledge of what we need here locally. Later on, I get to speak about the proposed fees in Humboldt County, and I'll talk about that. I have a few of those that I've highlighted for the people to know. But I'm going to come back to, and I hate to keep harping on this, but Measure Z and our need for support on that. Maybe people out there are getting tired of me, but I wouldn't be saying it over and over again if it wasn't so important for our county to have those funds, which we desperately need. I mentioned earlier that I would like to sit on the oversight board of that, if that ever happened. And as those of you know who I am here, as Mark would say, every single Tuesday, and participating as best I can to understand the budgets, how this money's being spent. And I think overall there's a lot of people who are out there with the misconception that we're wasting a bunch of money. Now, you always can do better. We all know that. But this little difference of this 0.5% sales tax countywide, which is shared by everybody, and shared by everybody is one of the most important things I see. It doesn't matter what economic group you're in, if you're spending a lot of money or whatever, if you're spending it locally, it's a tax locally, it'll stay here locally, and we will benefit from it locally. And the everything from your district attorney's needs, which I hopefully aren't gigantic, and from our need to supplement the fact that we don't have a manner to really have our prison system working the way it used to. We've had all these costs transferred over to the county, and so our probation department now will need to facilitate the needs that we used to have people in prison, whether it be ankle bracelets or just further monitoring. Sheriff's department's paramount, and so are the fire department. Those are my main concerns on this. As I said earlier in the meeting, before lunch, I'd spoke with the Blue Lake fire chief there, Ray, and I speak quite a few with all the fire chiefs, and they are disappointed because there were certain funds that at one time seemed to be headed their direction that just didn't quite get there, and so they're a little apprehensive about this, but I think with a good oversight board and your knowledge, which I've seen you folks showing in the past here, that this money will be directed productively. And so again, I will sum up by saying go ahead and get your absentee ballots or go into your ballot, take a chance to vote on this very important issue, and put, as people say, the sand in the sandbox. And I assure you that the five people up here will do the best they can, along with the department heads, to go ahead and spend that wisely and supplement a little bit of our losses. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this today.
Thank you.
My name is Charles Wilson. It looks like I'm kind of out of sequence. I wanted to make a public comment on signs. I understand that you had some comments or something going on a couple of days ago on signs along Highway 101. Now, I wanted to point out to you that there's a difference in the size of a sign depending on...
Just talk into the microphone so we can capture everything you say, okay? Thank you.
There's a difference in the size of a sign depending on your perspective. If you're closer to a sign, it appears much, much larger. Now, Caltrans has a fantasy that they like signs, lots of signs, more than L.A. County. Now, the thing is, if you're close to a sign, a Caltrans sign, it may appear to be 8 to 10 to 15 times larger than any private sign, even one of these great big billboards that they're chopping down. So I just wanted to point out that there is this difference in perspective of what the sign is. If you get rid of a lot of those Caltrans signs, like the pedestrians prohibited signs that they like to put up, you would reduce a lot of the clutter on the highways. Another thing is, back in 93, Guy Luther did his little study on for Caltrans on off-site signs for the scenic coastal highway. At that time, the idea was Eureka didn't want to have it because you couldn't put signs saying go over to the waterfront and look at the, well, whatever they had over there. So they didn't go along with it. North of Eureka, you had your, about 1996, as Sundberg probably knows, the gambling casino, put up a bunch of signs, or a big sign with all those little reflectors there saying, go to our casino and gamble. And then now they have lights there, which nobody else is allowed to do, but it's off limits because it's outside their jurisdiction. But it still is a nuisance, and it is another thing that should be gotten rid of because it doesn't really add to your park experience. And they changed the title for the Arcata, supposedly McKinleyville Airport. I would also like to suggest that you change the title of the county from Humboldt County, which apparently nobody likes because it's associated with Bumble County and Meathead and all that kind of stuff, and change it to Redwood Coast County. Then it'll always show up on the internet, and you won't have to worry about any comparisons with possible ordinance or the possible legalization of marijuana.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I can address the one issue if you'd like. The county does not have any jurisdiction over tribal lands held in trust by the federal government.
Okay. All right. That I'll close public.
Martin, I didn't get that.
Oh,
okay. I agree. But the thing is, it still is.
I'm sorry, your time's. Thank you, sir. All right. With that, I'll close public comment. I'll bring it back to the board, and now I'll turn it over to our CAO.
If you could open the public hearing.
And open the public hearing.
Thank you. And so I will ask County Council to read the ordinance into the record by title.
Thank you. The ordinance the board's considering today, the title is Ordinance Amending and Updating the Humboldt County Schedule of Fees and Charges for Permits and Services of the Various Humboldt County Departments.
Thank you. So this is the annual public hearing that the county conducts pursuant to your board's longstanding direction that departments recover their costs for providing services to the maximum extent possible. Senior Administrative Analyst Nicole Morrow will provide additional information about the specific proposals in this year's fee schedule update.
Good afternoon, Chair Bone and members of the board. I'm Nicole Morrow with the County Administrative Office. I'm here today to present the proposed 2014-15 Schedule of Fee and Charges. The Board of Supervisors is authorized through the California Government Code and other specific legislation to amend fees and charges in order to recover the cost of providing a product or service. The Schedule of Fee and Charges comes before your board annually. And if this year's proposed schedule is approved today, the majority of the schedule will be effective November 10th. Due to longer public noticing requirements, the planning and building fee schedule will be effective December 8th. As you can tell from this slide, the majority of the fees this year did not change. As represented by the yellow section in the bar graph, the number of increased fees is the largest change from the prior year. There are two major reasons for fee increases this year. About half the fee increases were from departments that did not increase fees last year when we saw a countywide payroll cost increase. In addition, in previous years, departments have kept fees artificially low to reduce the impact on county residents during the recession. In order to bring fee changes closer to actual costs, departments are choosing to increase incrementally over several years to keep county residents from having to pay a large increase in 1 year. Approximately 72% of the fees stayed the same, 2% of the fees are new, 25% increased, and 1% of the fees decreased. Of the 17 departments on the fee schedule, 10 departments changed at least one fee. In order to change fees, departments are required to calculate the current cost of providing a product or service. These calculations for the changed fees are included in your attachment 3 of your board item. There are a couple of fees that show a larger increase than what you might expect. For example, the Sheriff's Department's contract for Sergeant and Investigative Services increased this year. It's much more in line with actual costs. In addition, the Planning Department has continued its incremental fee increases, as I mentioned earlier. Five departments deleted 10 fees in this year's proposed fee schedule. Fees are deleted for several reasons. For example, sometimes technology makes a task so simple that it doesn't create any additional cost for a department. Or sometimes fees are replaced by existing fees when a product or service is similar to an existing product or service. And it basically only needs to take up one line instead of several on the fee schedule. Six departments added 19 new fees this year. In order to add fees, departments are required to provide calculations for the current cost and the legislation allowing the county to collect the fee. This information is included in your attachment too. Some reasons for new fees include the availability of a new hangar at the airport. The planning department added a wide format map printing service, the new allocation of a position. If the position provides a unique service provides a service at a unique rate of pay, such as the auditor's office, or when a statewide fee is added, much like the recorder's environmental filing fee. So with this, it concludes the staff report on the updates to the fee schedule. I'd be happy to address any questions that you might have regarding the fee changes.
Supervisor Sundberg?
I was just curious on one of them that was, it went way down, was the catering kitchen permit not covered in other categories? It went down by almost, went around half.
Okay.
Was that because of the new rule that we put in for home-based businesses, or was it something else?
Do you guys know the specifics of that?
You can come up and address it, please.
Good afternoon, Melissa Martell, Director, Department of Health and Human Services, Division of Environmental Health. We just did a fee study and evaluated the amount of time it took to inspect those facilities, and it was much less than we originally thought.
It's good to have ones that go down and that people know that they don't always go up. Well, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's one of the one percenters. Anybody? Supervisor Lovelace? Nothing?
Well, no comment, but I would move the staff recommendations to approve the changes to the fee schedule.
I'll second that.
Second and thirded? Go ahead.
My comment is that I do appreciate the department's working hard to have the minimum impact on those we serve. So, you know, it's great when we can actually find technology that makes it easier for us to do our job, and I'm sure that'll be the case in the future more often. And I appreciate Nicole's work, too. Thank you.
Was there a Supervisor Sundberg?
I just wanted to say that I only had one comment on the fees, and it wasn't about the fees necessarily. It was about the process of how come it's not on the internet in this day and age. Why isn't it on there yet? And this was a couple of weeks ago, and I let the person know that, you know, any of these things could change. We go by the Brown Act, has to be processed. You know, we'll have it Friday afternoon. And then on ordinances, there's 30 days afterwards. So there's plenty of time, you know, to look at it. And we're not hiding anything. We're transparent. We're going by the Brown Act. And so if anybody else had that question, that's the answer. I got it the same time the public got it. You know, it gets put on our iPads the same time it gets uploaded to the internet. So kind of, you know, is what it is. A lot to go through, though.
So on the fees that go up, was there a percentage average or anything, or was it all over the board?
I actually prepared. I was a little bit surprised at the increase in the number of fees that increased, and so I looked more closely at it and realized that 72% of the fees increased 3% or less. So there were some anomalies where the increase or decrease was substantial, but almost three quarters of them were 3% or less.
Perfect. Thank you. With that, I'll open it up to public comment.
Ken Sawatsky, and if a person wants to come in here at 8:30 in the morning and go through it, it's sitting on the counter over here, as I did this morning. Took a little time. I'm just going to go hit a few highlights. Some of them have been mentioned already. The Sheriff's Department, as far as their contracts for deputy services, went up by 11.1%. 11% seems to be quite prevalent in here as far as administrative costs. So some of these things may go up by 11% if your department had not figured in their administrative costs. And that's a common administrative cost, 10, 11%, 10, 15, when you're dealing with any kind of organization. I went into planning here, and there was some things that went up as much as 36.4%. Very small fees, though, so the $20. The only one of any consequence was a notice of merger in the planning department went up from $300 to $400, which was a 33.3% increase. And I'm sure they probably, knowing that department, have justification for that as far as why those take more time than they were estimated before. Your catering kitchen, as you mentioned, that actually went down by 54.5% from a whopping total of $567 down to $309, and I think that's probably a realistic reduction there. Interesting thing here on page 23 of your things under environmental health, it looks like maybe some more new laws went in here or something. They have a body art facility permit. And a practitioner's registration. Practitioner's registration went up by 71.1%. And here we have a violation inspection fees in the Safe Body Art Act handbook, and that went up by 104.8% from 126 to 258. We have one that went up the most in the whole thing, and it's a destruction of flatworts. Apparently that's in your clinic services, went up by 122.6%. So please don't have those particular things, I guess, because they're more to get rid of now. So that's a little bit off the wall, but here it is. So people want to know what's been increased. That was the largest increase. And apparently they've done some math and found out there was more cost involved. That's what it's all about when your departments are taking the time to do due diligence, find out what the actual cost of these things are, and then they're passed on to the public in a form that they pay as they play. So the other thing here on this particular issue is there's a recommendation, and it takes a vote here, that reduce the fees for hazardous materials fee for agriculture handling facilities in amount of $15,000. And this was brought before you before, and that's been thoroughly discussed and vetted, and I again continue to support that. So just so you people out there know, when it comes time to hopefully pass vote Measure Z, that you're capable staff here and your supervisors are doing everything they can to hold these fees in line and reflect actual costs, and that's being taken care of. So I wanted to put that out there as being a bean counter and a public meeting enthusiast. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? I'll close public comment. Bring it back to the board. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. 5-0.
Thank you,
Ms. Morrow.
And
thank you.
Close and that I'll public close hearing. And
public hearing. So reopen the public hearing. I'm opening a new one. Reopen the new public hearing. From the time before. Director Hamblin.
Thank you, Director, Chair Bone. We appreciate this. I love this so much the first time. We come back the second time for various reasons that we'll explain. I do want to introduce Paula Mushrush, our Housing Division Coordinator, and with that, I'll turn that to her to explain to you the changes in this program since we last were here a couple of weeks ago.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Chairman Bone and supervisors. So the last meeting was 9/23, and this is a CDBG item, so it was brought before a public hearing, and any changes need to come at a public hearing. At the last meeting, you approved the reuse plan as it was written, but we never really adopted a resolution, and that does need to be adopted. And in addition, you approved two recommendations by staff. One was a $135,000 grant to the Palmer Creek Community Services District and $100,000 in future revenue for an architectural burial removal project at the probation department. Both of those items, and then you also asked that I bring the amended resolutions back, different than what I had recommended. Both of those recommendations were premised on them being completed by January 31st. And the reason was, just to remind you, that the memo that came out said we had to use our program income money before we could draw funds. And we do have a grant that's closing that needs to be drawn by February 15th. If it isn't drawn, if we don't spend our PI, our program income, on other activities, we will have to spend our program income on this activity, which is the microenterprise program. And so after I left, I was a little surprised to hear that both projects weren't ready, because I thought they both were. So I did a little research, and I called Palmer Creek and spoke more in detail with them. They said maybe they could get it done by that time, but they weren't quite sure. And then in addition, the CAO's office talked to Public Works, and they told me that they had pulled that project. So that left us with how much money did we have available, and after we lose $80,000, we definitely will have $98,000 of program income that we could put towards this project. If we go any higher, we cannot commit to having that amount of money on hand because of losing the $80,000 and because of committing future funds. I feel a little comfortable committing future funds to ourselves, because if we had to call the Public Works Department and say to slow down, which is what your board had wished us to do, we could have done that. You can't do that with an outside person. And in their time frame, they need access to this money next summer, early fall. What this will also allow them to do is the match money that was mentioned by Supervisor Sundberg and Supervisor Lovelace. And so I did connect them up with the particular parties, and I will help them be ready to put this in as match for that. And I've worked with Kevin Farmer from the district, and I've also worked with Lowell a little bit, and I am definitely committed to helping them get the balance of that funding. And I think by using CDBG, we will be so ready for this other one that it'll be easy to step right into it with readiness and match. So based on the changes, staff is now recommending that we adopt the amended reuse plan as was agreed to last time, and we approve a $98,000 grant for the Palmer Creek Community Services District. And I've spoken with both Lowell Wallace, who is the chairman, as well as the district manager, and they both seem amenable to this situation, given the timing. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll bring it back to the board. Supervisor Fennell.
Well, as the maker of the initial motion, of course, I wish that we could have gone ahead as we planned the last time. I understand that the additional information that came forward makes that impossible. And so I'm pleased to hear that the North Coast Integrated Regional Water Management Grant Program can come up with the balance of funds. And I think it was very helpful that or was that who is
the opportunity the opportunity is there. I don't
it's
think
the opportunity,
yeah,
is there.
The opportunity right. arises. I don't think we can preface
we
it can, with
not passed yet.
Well, I do know that when we had our conversation, we were told it was a pretty likely, let's put it that way.
The opportunity,
said
the opportunity
it
is there.
It would be a good fit for the program.
Yeah.
Still has to be voted on by eight counties.
Seven, eight
counties. To actually apply for the program.
Again, yes.
Yeah. Funding anyway, the program, which gets us back.
The idea that they have an opportunity to get the rest of the money somewhere else is really good.
Okay, well, let me restate. I'm glad that opportunity is there, but you sure did make a good sales pitch when you were up last time saying that chances are pretty good that they'll get it, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed because they deserve it. They need it. And so I would make the motion that we go with staff recommendation to adopt the reuse plan for the program income and go forward with the $98,000 to the Palmer Creek project.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll open it up to public comment.
Ken Sawatsky, I did take a little time and contact some of the services district and speak with your staff, and apparently there had been an RFP of some type put out for this. The RFP or the request from these departments was it had to happen within the time frame, which was, I believe, by the end of January. So some of your other districts may have felt that they couldn't facilitate that, and so they didn't go forward with that. In the future, of course, you know, the sooner you can put these RFPs out and let people know. And if you're in a services district, have a shovel-ready project, because these funds do come up from time to time. Apparently, these people were smart enough to have one, and you have another one with the county. And so I do support this. And there was a question before, and maybe that's been settled. Since this is a grant rather than a loan, this still does go before the powers that be, and if they're not inclined to go with the grant rather than a loan, then these people might end up having to take a loan or something in the meantime, or may wish to put all their eggs in one basket with not a sure thing, definitely, I can understand, needs to brought before them. But those are the alternatives, and I would suggest to the district here and any of the other districts that they follow that particular guideline. And I guess you could ask staff if it's a certainty now, if the determination's been done, but we can go ahead and do that as a grant rather than, and then of course Palmer can plan how they're going to approach this. I think that's some information or some odds that they'd probably like to have. I would if I was in their shoes. So thank you for the opportunity to speak on this issue today.
Seeing no other public comment, I'll bring it back. I want to thank Palmer Creek Lowell for keeping us informed of how this was going on and being flexible on this process. So, and if you want to say something, you sure can.
Yeah, Chairman and other members of the board, really thank you.
Pick up the mic there, big guy.
Really thank you for your time and your original proposal, which was really great. The only thing was is the time frame that was involved with that to get the project done, I'd had my back to the wall, and I just didn't feel comfortable doing that. So no. This will work, and I'm willing to work with Ryan and Mark and see what we can come up with for the rest of the funds. So.
Well, it's a critical project. We got to do it right, and with what you're addressing, we need to do it right and do it once, and so we need to take the proper amount of time. And again, Supervisor Lovelace and Sundberg, as you said, nothing's guaranteed, but they will certainly work for you to put the best proposal forward.
Appreciate it.
And Paula. Again, Paula's great to work with on that. So with that, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'll close this public hearing, and we'll
open the next one.
We'll open to another public hearing. Going to surprise y'all and close them all. No, I'm just kidding.
Can you open them all at once?
Director Mattson.
Good afternoon, Chair Bowen, members of the board. Tom Mattson, Director of Public Works. The subject of this public hearing is your annual unmet transit needs hearing that the county performs to assist the Humboldt County Association of Governments in gathering information on unmet transit needs throughout the county. This year, we have two outlying issues that were determined to be unmet needs only because equipment was basically not available in the time frame. Service on Old Arcata Road for last year and service to the Bear River Rancheria Singley Road. We are looking, hopefully, going to try to fund either one or both of those this year, but we do not know what our TDA allocation is yet. Last year we had an a bump in our TDA allocation that was unexpected. We do expect it to go back down, but I have been working with HTA, and they've been putting together some layouts and cost estimates in case we do have the funding to move either one or both of those forward. So having said that, I would defer to the public for any other unmet transit needs throughout the county that may be brought forth. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Sundberg?
I'll just say that HCOG did send a representative to the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee at my request, and they did the needs assessment there also. So people who from McKinleyville got kind of their chance at that meeting, so they may not be here today. So it's just because we don't get a lot of input here doesn't mean there isn't people from the unincorporated parts commenting.
Okay. Supervisor Lopez?
And similarly, I can attest that I've heard a lot over the past year and each year from folks that have transit concerns in their own community, and then we have this hearing as a part of the process, and don't have a whole lot of attendance for it, but one thing I have heard that I've already relayed to Greg Pratt, the general manager for Humboldt Transit Authority, has been a consistent interest in seeing transit service along Samoa Boulevard, Old Arcata Road, Myrtle, and looping the bay in that way. And been in discussion with Greg. There's already some interest in trying to explore the ability to do that. So I think that one's already somewhat on the radar. But just wanted to convey that, since that's something I've heard from people out in Bayside and certainly Freshwater Three Corners area, their interest in having service out there.
Okay. With that, I'll open it up to public comment.
My name is Wendell Freeman. I live at 189 Harsh Court. I'm here to speak on behalf of Bear River. We have gone through the process, as Mr. Mattson has stated, and I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of background on why we feel there's an unmet need in our community. We have over right about 50 homes, about 200 residents that live in on our reservation off of Singley Road in Lolita. Many are elders, a lot of children, and we do have some folks that are disabled. Closest bus stop to us is about little over a mile away from us. It's down at Fernbridge. I did drive it. I don't have enough time to put it up for you guys to see, but it's not a good route to have to walk to get to the bus. In addition to that, we're in the process of building 16 multifamily units out there, some apartments. We have other houses that are being built, so the community just keeps growing and growing. We're looking at, in the next 3 years, probably having about 300 residents that live right in that community. Many of them struggle to get into town to go to medical appointments, do their grocery shopping. A very high number of low-income families that live out there. We're proud. We have worked with the county. We do have our library, and we do a summer reading program. It would be nice to be able to have, a little more access for folks to get out there to that program. We do have a sheriff substation on our rancheria now that it's been very nice to bring, safety is an issue out there. So it's great that we do have that. I know we're already on the radar for it. We've been going through the process, but I just wanted to make sure that we were able to come and speak with all of you. I've seen a few of you at some of the meetings, but
I'll give you one more too if you want.
One more?
Yeah, we've added in your housing into our low-income housing numbers, which has been a huge help.
Okay, so excellent.
And input that you met the unmet educational needs of Lolita last week, so I appreciate that.
That was very nice.
The other thing is I know Greg Pratt and working with Bear River and stuff like that, I know there was initially, if we started bus service up there, there was talk, and I think very seriously, of subsidizing it for a while to make sure that it was, at the fare box if we had to tell the readership caught up. And I know there was a commitment by your board and your executive director towards that, just to facilitate that. And
absolutely.
And your partnership with, I mean, we've put in one of the first lit crossing guards, you know, the crosswalks up there, so I appreciate that. So,
all right, thank you for your time.
Crosswalk. I'm stuck on crossing guards. Mike.
Crosswalk tomorrow morning. Hey, Rex. Mike Flockhart, Public Works Director, Bear River. And I'm here just to kind of reiterate what Wendell said, our transportation director, that, you know, we're on the radar for a bus stop up there. We certainly have the infrastructure for it. We are willing to fund any type of sheltered bus stop and park and ride spaces for not only us, but maybe some overflow events, whether it's the Humboldt County Fair or whatever. This will not only benefit tribal members, but the public getting up to our place or getting to another spot. I would like to thank HCOG and SS TAC committee for all the work they've done. Marcella, Deborah, Greg, we've talked to everybody, so it's been great. The one thing I will mention is with the opening of the Fernbridge Market and Ridgetop Cafe, which looks very nice, haven't eaten in there yet, but I heard it's good. A lot of their overflow parking is parked across the street where the bus stop is right now, so I don't know how the bus is stopping there, and we've been told that if we do get some type of service up there, it will probably be a feeder bus that will drop riders down to Fernbridge to catch the main line. And, you know, that's great, but we would still prefer to be on the main line stop at some point in time, which would be great. If we just have a feeder bus to start to see how it goes, that we'll take whatever we can get at this point in time. But I'd like to thank everybody for their time, and hope we can get a bus stop up there. We did install a crosswalk, like Rex was saying, and it's been working great. Everybody's been using it to get across singly, so for the safety of everybody. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. And like I can tell you from being on the Transit Authority and now being the alternate, that you're quite a ways along in the pipeline, I think, and I know Greg's got it well embedded in his plan, so thank you very much. With that, is there any more, Paul, any more public comment? You came all the way here. I figured you wanted to say something. Yeah, what the heck.
Yeah, Paul Patino from HCOG's SS TAC. Marcella or Deborah were not able to come today, and they asked me to come and listen to the comments and take notes so that I can give them direct input back. Everything that's been said is accurate. We are on track with Bear River and Old Arcata Road, Myrtle Avenue, as the two unmet needs that are unreasonable this year because we don't have the buses yet or the funding in place, but this is the only time that they can be considered unreasonable, so they will be eventually dealt with, and hopefully sooner than later. So it's just a matter of putting the pieces great together to make it happen.
Great.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys' work, and Greg, as always, thank you. With that, Matson?
Yeah, I just want to add a point of clarification. Even if the service is reasonable to meet, if we don't have sufficient TDA funds to start up that service, we won't be able to start up that service. That money will just be banked until there is sufficient funds. So I just don't want people to think because it's reasonable, it's automatic, because we are not going to cut other services to add a new service. We will just start putting funds away and not spending those funds on either trails or roads until sufficient money is there to meet the outstanding services that are reasonable to meet, just holding up on funding.
Okay.
And I've heard meetings I've been to talk about both of these projects. They both make sense to me. Same as down south, when you got your ridership up, it's no problem. I think you can go ahead and put a little extra money in there to get the ridership up and get them going. I think the carbon imprint of our people is a lot lower by riding buses or other things of that nature, so I strongly support the money spent on this matter if you can procure it. There's a I guess that between, and again, there, you got a lot of people between Arcata and Eureka on that one particular route there. And as far as safety and a lot of things go, I think that'd be paramount to get that. It's one of those little connecting things we were talking about yesterday between Arcata and Eureka. But anyway, to service the people who are there is I think, an important thing to do. And I totally support the use of buses and ability to move masses amount of people around at a lot lower cost than, like we said before, everybody having an automobile. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, that's it. Close the public hearing.
Yeah, and then did the board approve staff's recommendations? There was a recommendation that the director send the comments off to HCOG, I believe.
Make a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Now I'll turn it back over to County Council.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and members of the board. This item M1 is brought by Council, as the Chair said. Back in last month, September 9th, if you recall, the board met, and that was the most recent time that you discussed campaign finance reform. And you, after discussion, directed Council to bring back the ordinance, which is a proposed ordinance, which is attached to the agenda item. And if I could go ahead and just read that title into the record, the board will be considering an ordinance of the Board of Supervisors of the County of Humboldt adding Division 18 and Chapter 1 and Sections 2181-1 through 2181-15 regarding campaign finance to Title 2 of the Humboldt County Code. So the board had directed Council to bring back this proposed ordinance based on the Sonoma County ordinance as a model. We did change the contribution limits from 2,500, I believe, which was the Sonoma County ordinance, to $1,500 as directed by the board. That would be per person, per election cycle, which we were directed to bring back a primary election cycle and a general runoff election cycle. So we did that. I just wanted to highlight one other aspect of the ordinance that you may not have picked up on, and that's under section 2181-4, and it's subdivision F. There's a built-in escalator, and again, we use the Sonoma County ordinance as a model, and there is an escalator in there that the increase of these contribution limits go up 5% biannually. Just wanted the board to be aware of it if you want to go ahead and approve Council's recommendations per your earlier direction. I would suggest not using the escalator. Certainly that's your option. It's just that it automatically goes up, and it always seems that people lose track of, it was 5%, what is 5%, and then the next time it goes up, it's 5% on top of that. It's a little hard to keep track sometimes.
Banks never have a problem with it. I don't know why we would.
Customers may, though. So it's certainly your option. I would think just leave it as written if you wanted to adopt that. And then if and when the board wanted to change the limits, you can always do that and have us bring back an amended ordinance in the future if you wanted to increase or decrease the limits. But short of that, we brought back what the board directed, and it's clearly up to the board what you would like to do at this point.
Okay. Supervisor Bass.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. I also have to leave for a plane around 3, but I think we may get most of the way through this by then. So some of these I can wait. One of the things I did notice that was different, and I was curious where it came from, there's the portion, okay, where is it? 2181-13, the reporting of late contributions,
Seems like the state has the requirement of for every $1,000 that comes in, you know, aggregate is when you have to go do the filing, and this has $500. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, if we were going to be creating, you know, more work. Where did the $500 come from in that, or is that just from the other ordinance? And
it's just from the other ordinance.
Because
exactly.
I know it's different than what we just.
We literally just used the other ordinance and just made the change that the board had.
So that doesn't
asked
that
us
doesn't
to
have
do.
To change that. I mean, that's just. The suggested. I just noticed it this
That's right.
run through and I looked at it.
That's right.
All right, thanks.
Supervisor Fennell?
Two things. First of all, under, let's see, what is it, 2181-4, subsection F, which deals with the escalator, there's a date in there, at least on the iPad, it just says January 1, 2020, with nothing else. I wondered.
Thank you for bringing that up, Supervisor. Actually, I meant to say that as well. So if you want to keep that in, we would ask you, when do you want that to start?
Okay. Thank you. And then the other thing that I wanted to say to absolutely clarify is that in our ordinance, as we recommended, we're talking about primary elections and runoff elections. And so there were two periods for one candidate.
Two cycles.
Right.
County Council,
right.
Yes.
Okay. That's right.
And then the other thing that I failed to notice until I read through the proposed ordinance is that when we discussed this in July, we also looked at charts from other counties. And in the chart from Kern County, there was a recommendation that there be a higher limit for committees. And I wondered, had that fallen off the table? Are we just going with the 1,500 across the board, whether it's individual or committees such as local unions or whatever? And I did want to bring that to the board's attention for discussion. Have we decided to just go with the one amount?
That, I know County Council's talking now, but I think that was the way I understood it, but I just.
Well, that's up to your board. I mean, we were directed to bring back this ordinance with this the changes normal, as yeah. as told us what to do. So yeah. That's up to the board's discretion. We brought back this. If you wanted to approve and adopt it as is, then it would be put over for adoption. But the board certainly has board discretion to make any other changes and direct staff to bring those back in a different, you know, the same ordinance, but with additional changes or additions.
Okay. I'll open up public comment.
Ken Sawatsky, I felt this was a very important issue, so I did a little research on my own. I know Mark had I think it was Robin or somebody who did some research before. I had the advantage that I know most of these people, so I walked in their office and talked to a lot of the people who are not just you folks, but your department heads, and had communication with them. I called two of the unions. I spoke with one of your largest donation people personally, which was a local rancheria here. And so I do have some feedback. One of the people who runs for office here he said he had a up to $5,000 donation, but he didn't seem to have a problem with the limitations you have proposed here. None of the other people, department heads, and I spoke to a majority of them, seemed to think that this wouldn't work for them. Some said they totally financed their own campaign, so they wouldn't be felt they were owing to anybody. And so I met we have a varying thing. I had one of the unions, I think they said, well, something between 500, 1,000, make it 750 just to be different or something. But my main thing is to find something that really doesn't feel like anybody is precluded from participating in this. I did delegate one thing. I asked Mark to go ahead and approach the 805 Club, which does lists of those people do have some major donations in there, and I didn't contact those people, but I contacted a majority of your significant donations regarding the Rancheria, who made some really major contributions. I first went in, and they said, well, if we don't hear back from us, just go ahead, and it's okay. I went back to assert what they had, just so there was no miscommunication, and they said their comment was no comment. Again, you see in the room here, we don't have a lot of people. I did talk to, like I say, a few of the other union people, and they were aware that, you know, that what was happening here, and I didn't hear back from the one. But I didn't really seem to think that this limitation would hobble anybody as far as their ability to run a campaign. And I think that's the most important thing. I know in these articles I have here, Mark's district, I think one of them referred to a pauper's thing in Arcata, 38,000 or something, very low compared to the other ones, and it is a good district for that. It already seems to be not a district where there's a whole bunch of money it takes to be elected. The first time Mark ran, as I brought these forward, and you know, Mark did have some larger contributions. It is a lot easier, I'm sure, to get one, you know, larger checks, but I think that realizing where you're at, I do see an advantage for a person who's running, especially first time, to need quite a bit more money to get their name recognition out there. And I do think this, I think this facilitates this. I don't think the contributions of $6,800 or $20,000 are appropriate, and I think that those kind of things, you know, I think this pretty well handled it from all the people I talked to, and it was quite an extensive, you know, process. I took quite a bit of time to go out and try and vet this through a lot of the people who do make the contribution. So that's my feedback. And like I say, I did get a very good response on direct communication. And I as we see, there's no one else in the room objecting. So I think go ahead with what you have. I do concur with County Council. Don't have the inflation clause in there. There's no reason not to bring it back before the public if you wish to increase that on a certain basis and go from there. That's my opinion. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this today.
Thank you. Supervisor Sundberg.
Thank you, Chair Bone. I guess I'll just reiterate that it's very strange how you walk out on the street and talk to people about campaign finance, and they all agree that it's something that needs to happen, needs to be done, and seems unanimous. And it doesn't matter what numbers we throw around, and to get one person and three people from the media is just strange to me, but I guess it is what it is. And had a couple of people who contacted me just casually, but nothing real deep or, you know, I think I had one email and then one other person I was having a meeting with, and we ended up talking about it a little bit, and just not a lot of interest, I guess. There's interest, but not opinion. I guess that's a better word for it. Not opinion, but interest.
Judge Fennell?
Well, following up on that, Supervisor Sundberg, I couldn't agree more. It's just there's so much talk about it and so little action. This has come up so often, I would argue in decades, and I'm actually extremely proud of this board that we're moving forward. And we are actually moving towards campaign finance reform. We're making a considerable effort to clarify things and make things a little easier for everybody. So with that, I also think that, you know, reflecting on the fact that none of the unions or anybody else is here, none of the other elected officials are here, because this does apply not just to the supervisors, but to the district attorney, the sheriff, the assessor, everybody who's elected in this county, even for countywide offices. I think that, generally speaking, that lack of any further input would lead me to recommend and to make a motion that we adopt the ordinance as presented to us today.
I'll second with one modification. I'd like to take the escalator clause out.
The escalator, you'd like to take that out?
Yes.
I don't know that I could agree with that. I could agree with maybe less than 5%. I noticed in other counties it was 2%. I could see that. You want to do that?
Let's hear the rest of the conversation.
It's been moved in a second. Let's talk a little bit more, Virginia. Yeah. Supervisor Bass, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, one of the things I was going to say in talking, hearing from the public, the only thing I was hearing was that there was discussions on the lower end, you know, what about the $500? And when it's amazing when you actually start talking about, it's not just, you know, people have a tendency to look at the board as the ones being affected by this. And I'm going, yeah, for the, my district is very small. You could probably, you know, you can manage a campaign. It's tougher, but it's smaller. It'd be really difficult for most of your districts, but a countywide race is unfathomable, and I think that's one of the reasons we don't have the other folks here that are elected offices, because this is something that they can accept, mm-hmm. and that they can work with. So I thought that was kind of telling. The one, I appreciate that you moved the whole item forward. The one that I would have, if I were to, it doesn't really matter either way, but I kind of would want to take that section out that's for late contributions that's already covered by the state. I mean, there's already the $1,000, and that was actually just implemented like a year ago. So a lot of people this year had a hard time just remembering that. I think having that in place already, to me, makes sense. I mean, if this board chooses to put another amount and you're basically running and doing double the work, that's fine too. I just think it's fairly covered sufficiently by the state already, but that's just me.
I, as a maker of the motion, I actually I find that argument compelling, because it is in place, and it really is dealing with those last minute big contributions.
Do you want to withdraw your motion and try again?
Dollar ones that, is that right?
Do you want to amend it? You want to amend?
Well, I'll amend it to delete that. Do you have the number of the
2181-13.
So let me just,
because it's already covered by state statute.
State statute is if you receive a campaign contribution of $1,000 or more, you've got 20
aggregate
after the final.
And
before
you
the
have
election,
to report it within 24 hours. So this would,
okay.
Instead of having that be 500.
Are you okay with that? With your second? Okay. Yeah. Supervisor Lovelace?
Thank you, Chair Bowen. Well, I said my piece on this when we talked about it last time, and I'm not expecting to change any minds, but I do support campaign finance reform. I can't support going forward with this ordinance because I don't think it reforms anything. I don't think it is that. I think instead what it does is essentially lock in the current paradigm that we have, and a current paradigm which has very clearly been very advantageous to certain interests in the county. By zeroing in to target a few specific donations without looking more broadly at what would actually reduce the disparity to make it so that regular people in Humboldt County who cannot afford to put in, you know, $1,500 or double that to $3,000, so that they can actually have a meaningful voice to participate, you know, to allow someone on a median income to have enough of a voice that they can be, you know, again, feel like they're being effective in using their money to help with elections. I don't believe this levels the playing field. I think it does work to advantage in specific ways rather than evening things out. It also does nothing to reduce the spiraling cost of campaigns in Humboldt County that are now hovering around $200,000 or even close to $250,000 for Humboldt County. And I think that's huge. So for those reasons, and for the fact that it would be one of the largest campaign limits of the counties that have them in the state. You know, yes, there would be larger ones, but it would be one of the largest. Much larger than Santa Cruz, San Jose, San Francisco, Los Angeles, you know, for those reasons, I'm not able to support this. I support campaign finance reform. This isn't it.
Supervisor Fennell.
Based on my amended motion, I'm assuming then that we would renumber 2181-131415, so it would be 1-4 would become 1-3 and 1-5 would become 1-4.
That's right, and if I could just add, I believe, Supervisor Fennell, your motion was to adopt the ordinance, and as you could see in the recommendations, the adoption today, you could
and then the publication.
Say what changes you want, and then set the ordinance at least a week away for adoption. We could bring it back next week for the adoption with these changes, as I'm seeing, which would be to delete 21813, then, of course, we'd renumber, as you say, and I didn't know if the board wanted to give any direction on the escalator. I know there was discussion, and if you want it as is, though, we need to know when do you want to start it? Do you want to make it start in 2 years, in 3 years? That's your discretion, if you want to keep it in.
I'll go last here, I guess. I'd just soon pull the escalator, and and I think we've had, I don't know how many campaigns we've had do a quarter of a million. I know mine was $130,000, and I had two opponents, and I wasn't an incumbent. I was just a working guy that decided to run for office. I had over 2,100 people donate to my campaign, so it would be, in my case, it'd be a distinct advantage if we lowered it, because then I'm sure I'd still get 2,100 donations, maybe 2,199. But I appreciate that. My biggest fear is putting a cap on elections, because then the biggest fear that everybody has is there's no way to cap an individual who is financially stable who wants to come in and spend as much as he wants, because according to the courts, he can spend as much as he wants because we can't stop his free speech, if I'm paraphrasing that right. And so I think you still have to be able to have the tools to compete. So I appreciate this, and I understand opposing it, and I understand being for it. The reason I brought this forward is it's one of those things everybody talks about, nobody wants to do anything about. Everybody's mad about the $10,000, the $15,000 checks, the checks, you know, from the big developers from outside the area, the other entities that get involved. And I think this is a one way to put one type of curtailment. I understand you're still going to have to be a candidate that the people will vote for at the end of the day to get any type of donations and limiting it to $1,500. I mean, I think so. And considering I think it's over 75% or 80% of all Humboldt County elections are decided in the primary. So basically, we've just put a $1,500 cap. We've put a $375 cap a year on elections. A lot of these other counties that we talk about have a limit of $1,000 per year or per cycle or per election. Some are per year, which will skew that thing out of perspective. So that's just my 2 cents worth. I mean, we could kick the can down some road some more and not like anything that was brought forward, but at any time, somebody can change this. I brought something forward that I thought would answer some of the problems that I keep hearing about, but then again, we have these meetings and nobody shows up. So, again, it's been moved and seconded. Do you have a...
I have an additional observation to make, because, you know, we all wonder, why is it that there's so much interest in this, and at the same time, why doesn't anybody show up then to give us their input? But there's another thing that needs to be brought forward, and that is, what is the money spent on? The money is spent on the media. That's where the money goes. And, or signs, and that's basically it, okay? So, the cost of living isn't going down, you guys, and I don't, you know, we certainly are going to need to, any candidate is going to need to spend money in order to get their message out. So I think that It's a matter of a difference between districts, what it takes to get your message out. Can you walk door to door, or do you have to put more in the local papers, or however do you get your message out? Can you be guaranteed that every pearl of wisdom that drops from your lips is going to be reported in the media? All of these things.
Every non-pearl will.
Or not. it gives you a certain amount of, this is your campaign to get your message out, and in today's world, that's just a fact of life. I think we're doing we're really taking a strong stand here, and I think it's a shame that my colleague can't join us in voting for campaign finance reform, but I really like it that we're doing this. And I'm not sure, before we take the vote, Chair Bond, if we want to talk about that escalator or not, because my original motion was to keep it in.
I don't think it's necessary, but that's some just 20%. I mean, and I think you make, in this day and age, and I understand, and I didn't check the exact numbers of where we'd be. I know we're the, are we the third largest county in the state by landmass? Are we third or fourth? So we do have we're fairly big. We do have a lot of area to cover. We also have the bogs or the blogs. I know there's a lot of online media that, you know, attacks us on a regular basis and doesn't like us. I know I could probably go out here and walk on water, and the headline tomorrow would be Rex can't swim. But I think it doesn't matter. These are things you have to overcome, and I don't think $1,500 per election is massive. I really don't. So I think that's why the number we came up, and we're lowering our neighbors in, you know, I mentioned, but I think we're lowering our neighbors in Mendocino, Sonoma, Napa. You might have it there. You can tell me exactly. But anyway, it's been moved and seconded. The escalator.
The escalator. If we keep it in, could we say we start in 2020? Would that make you feel more comfortable, Supervisor Sundberg?
Maybe we can revisit it in 5 years, put it in there.
That's what I was thinking.
Keep it out and revisit it.
I mean, and then if you want to, you know, if the price of elections is going up and it needs to be raised, it would, you know, the board at that time can have the conversation about what it takes to run campaigns and what it would take for someone to run in. An unknown person, what it's going to take them to run.
Can anybody guide me to where the escalator is?
It's 2181.
Or the elevator, I don't mind, whichever.
2181-4F.
Okay.
Like Frank.
So, persuaded by the input from my colleagues, I'd like to delete that also.
And Supervisor,
the seconder will approve.
Yes.
Yep.
And Supervisor Fennell, the maker of the motion, does your motion include the other staff recommendations as well?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So basically, my motion is staff recommendation with the changes discussed today.
Two changes, right?
Two changes, yes.
Deleting 2181-13 and deleting 2181-4 subdivision F.
Exactly.
Perfect. Okay, back to it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
4-1.
How many states have, how many counties have campaign reform? 18? 18? How many have it?
17, yeah. Oh, it's you. Well, do you guys have calendars this week? Supervisor Sundberg, travel and all those good things.
Okay. Public Works had a meeting with the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee and the McKinleyville Organizing Committee to talk about the grant that we have. We have a $700,000 or $800,000 grant to do public safety or traffic safety on Central Avenue between Anna Sparks and Hiller Road in McKinleyville. They had around 60, 70 people there, if I had to guess. So it was a good meeting. Public Works is going to come back with some concrete ideas on how to make it safer on that stretch of road. Supervisor Bone and I met with folks from the Russ Ranch and the Ag Department about wells and moving troughs and other fees, so we'll be getting back to you on that. The big one that I did was Supervisor Bass and I were invited by Richard Marks to go up to Willow Creek and have a barbecue meeting panel kind of thing. And it was on medical marijuana and what happens if marijuana is recreationally voted in 2016. And this group is highly organized, well-funded. They had attorneys there to seed makers and you name it. It was probably around 200 people at the meeting, if I had to guess. And it was one of the things that I enjoyed was hearing the people that are in the industry give their perception of what's wrong with their industry. And everything that we've talked about and about everything that I've heard from the environmental degradation to trimmers hanging out on the lawn out in Willow Creek to the smell in neighborhoods, and they were highly aware of it, to you not paying taxes and not being part of the community, and they understand all of those impacts and they have plans to address them. One of the first ones they had was they were collecting $4,000 to feed homeless, or not homeless, but needy families for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and do a full Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner spread for each one. And someone had identified the people in need already and knew about how much they would need to collect, and they were well on their way to collecting that much money. And it was a very interesting meeting. Supervisor Bass and I were on a kind of question and answer panel, and we had questions from what guarantees can you give us? You know, and we said, we can't give you any guarantees, but the process that they have set up is, you know, if they get enough stakeholders together and put their heads together with, you know, I know Director Hamblin is going to be at their next meeting, and Steve Lazar, Supervisor Lovelace, and I, and a whole bunch of other folks. So I think that's the right way to try and tackle outdoor marijuana and get ahead of the curve. And we'll see if it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that meeting on the 22nd. It's going to be at the Wharf and Chair, I believe, on the 22nd. But it was the first meeting I've been to where people have just been open about it, and you've had people from the industry there. And you know, when we did the 5 acres and under neighborhood impacts, I barely heard from anybody. And I went out to Willow Creek and tried to get them to talk to me, and a whole bunch of them wouldn't come out. But this time they were there. They're ready to tackle the issues and deal with the impacts they have and say, I want to be regulated. I want to be a regular business. And how can we help? It was nice to hear, and it was interesting, and I'm looking forward to what happens in the future.
Good. Supervisor Lovelace?
Thank you, Chair Bone. I'll just report on two things. One, 2 weeks ago, stopped by the RCRC conference just for the one specific workshop on the Colorado experience with legalization. of medical recreational marijuana, just as a longstanding interest of mine that I've worked on both for the board and with the CSAC's medical marijuana working group, I wanted to attend that workshop or that presentation, which I thought was excellent, and I'll leave it to our RCRC rep to discuss that more. But it was really a very well done panel presentation. Then also on that trip was in Sacramento for a couple of meetings, one with the State Water Resources Control Board regarding their new efforts that they're undertaking to really address water quality impacts from marijuana grows. And we're going to have a presentation on that next week, I was really pleased with some of what they're doing in increased enforcement. So those two things, and then this past weekend, Saturday, was down in Ferndale for the veteran stand down, volunteered there for a 4-hour shift, carving and serving tri-tip for about 400 people, I think they had, came through there. There's a lot of tri-tip, this big, just full of tri-tip. Which was excellent, by the way. And my thanks to the Cattlemen's Association for providing that. Also dishes, sweeping, mopping, even helping to clean the grease trap there at the kitchen at Bilotti Hall, which I think needs a more full professional cleaning. Pass that along to our fair rep. Always a wonderful event, and just the generosity from so many folks that are there to help out our veterans. Everything from, as we had with the presentation before, everything from massages and haircuts and shaving to clean clothes and gear, sleeping bags, whatever they might need, checking in with all the different services that are out there, counseling, alcohol and other drugs, whatever they might need, even taking care of their pets for the day, giving them a bath, getting them current with their shots, all of these kinds of things. It's a wonderful outpouring of generosity from the community support folks who have literally put their lives on the line in defense of our country.
Sergeant Fell?
Yeah, well, in the spirit of keeping it short, I'll just mention a few things. Last Wednesday, I think, I was joined by all my colleagues at the presentation for CHP Officer Marshall in Arcata, and that was a wonderful event, a long time coming to honor him with a memorial section of the highway, interchange actually. On Friday, the Ill Russian River Commission met here, and we had several presentations, as usual, about the health of the fisheries and the eel on the Russian River. And also, this time around, we looked at the drought and had presentations on the long-range forecast. And we've heard that there might be a weak El Nino on the horizon. Well, the news for us was that if it's a weak El Nino, it's not good for us. It's not just a little less rain, it's actually dry. And so there's going to be a new long-range forecast coming out from NOAA on October 9th that will give us a better idea of whether or not it's a weak or a strong or a medium El Nino, and we can, every little increment higher means more possibility of rain for us, so we'll see how that goes. And then this weekend had the distinct pleasure of not only being a judge, but spending a lot of time in the at the Shelter Cove Plein Art Festival. It was the first annual. It was really, really wonderful. There were 91 entries from all over the place, including local artists, and they had a couple of days to go out and paint local scenery in the Shelter Cove area, and there was lots of beautiful art there. It was very difficult to judge, but a pleasure at the same time, so that was also really a wonderful thing to attend, and that is my report, Chair Bone.
Great. I'll go real quick. Mark already talked about the RCRC, and there was a lot of things covered, and I'll have something to send out to all of you on what went on there. Again, RCRC, I think it's 37 small counties that are represent over 50% of the land mass, and they go through a lot of stuff. I appreciate our CAO taking the time to attend, and they had a CAO's conference, and I think it was a pretty good conference all in about. It's a lot less hurried than CSAC. You're not pulled every which way and everything else. Yeah, I've started a dialogue with Lewis from Casca, I think it was, from Colorado, and the other people. Sent him some T-shirts and stuff here from Eureka. I want to thank the CAO's office. They have a basket raffle every year, and they, if your ticket's drawn, we were the seventh basket taken out of 37, so they did a pretty good job of putting it together. And
digging through from the bottom looking for something in there.
You know, it was a wheelbarrow with a whole bunch of stuff in it. And I think the main item was Harry from the Gingerbread Mansion in Ferndale gave a two-night stay. So I think that was very nice of him to step up and do that. So that was great. Got back here and got back late Friday, didn't we? Got there late Tuesday and got back late Friday. Had a lot of stuff. The dedication, Kenny Marshall dedication, I think all five supervisors attended, and that was a very, very well put on. Had meetings on Wednesday and Thursday when I got here. Attended the Humboldt Coalition for Property Rights dinner with about 400 other people at the River Lodge on Friday night. Saturday, I got to be one of the speakers at celebrating College of Redwoods' 50th anniversary. Sunday night, I was the auctioneer for the Symphony Gala out at Baywood. Had a very nice fundraiser, very well attended. And again, spent some time out at Stand Down. And I want to again thank Ayers Distributing, Phil and Paul, for donating the pallet of water on one phone call. I told them I'd split the cost with them, and they said they'd take care of it, and in turn also donated all the ice. And then the Cattlewoman's Charlie Busman cooked the tri-tip, and they were having a good time. But I also wanted to thank Lisa Dugan from Child Support Services. They had a table there. CalFresh had a table there. Renee from our Veterans Affairs office had the lead table coming in, had it well staffed, and had, I think on Friday, I was down there Friday, but they had over 177, a huge number on Friday, and they were following it right up again on Saturday. I want to thank the DHHS. The SOS van was out there on Saturday assisting, and Mark mentioned Frederick and Charles, Jeannie Scott, from Fredericks and Charles. They had a full staff out there giving haircuts and stuff to the guys. And again, yeah, the foot massage was brand new this year. And I had two guys come up and say, you had a foot massage, Rex? It's great. So it was, they did a very good job. I applaud the fairgrounds out there for providing the space. Humboldt Transit for helping provide transport, and all the people that attended their fundraiser auction and everything else. This is a one time a year, and it's a really good thing. So I, yeah, you're right. That's a good thing. Every year it's a good thing, and it's good to, I think they're happy to be back out in Ferndale. I know they came here one year. So with that, I'll ask for public comment on our travels and tribulations.
No slides today, Kent Sawatsky.
I thought Mark could have them. I had all sorts of nice ones, too.
So, no, I'm going through Willow Creek. It's been pretty good. Here's Steve Payne and the Willow Creek Community Services. They did a beautiful job. I think they did the same thing down Rio. These trees have grown fast. The lawn's out here. There were about 30 of the manicurist wannabes and their dogs and everything halfway camped out all over the place. So I'm glad that the people actually showed up. I was at that one meeting that we had where Rex and you were up there, and a lot of the community showed up, but very few of the growers did. So I'm glad to see they're coming in and communicating directly and giving input and feel comfortable doing that as we make a transition from our current situation into what 2016 most likely will bring. So I do support making that transition, and I support making it in a manner that is most beneficial to the county, both in general plan designations as far as where and minimal impacts. And so there'll be quite a bit of work and money that needs to be spent, I think, on that. And again, as I said earlier, I think you've got a good share of your large grow things done, unless you've got certain areas where you want to put an overlay or something, allow them to have more plants. We had somebody in here earlier talking about 50 plants. Well, I don't know if that was 50 under a 10-foot canopy, or I think our new thing's maybe 300. Most likely it's 54-pound plants, and I do appreciate their donation to the Thanksgiving thing. Of course, that is size 1 4-pound plant, and that's a very good start, but with some of the volume those people have, it'd be nice to see them give a little bit more back to the community, but it's a start, and that's always good. So that's important. Our drought sounds like it's going to go on, doesn't it? We'll see what happens there. Unfortunately, we didn't get a talk about the water bond. I guess that's next week as far as that goes. Drought issues, you know, it doesn't really seem that we're really getting our share. Northern California here is where the water is, and really, it just seemed like I was talking to some people, and there's some stuff for watershed improvement, and I was trying to find out, does that include keeping the water in the river? And they didn't really seem to think that that fell under that category as far as making sure that the illegal taking of water. It sure would be nice to have a lot of money or ability to redesignate that watershed management for the purpose of keeping the water in the watershed from the top of these things all the way into the rivers and to the ocean. So I don't know, maybe between now and then you guys will get some clarification as far as how our little share is going to be able to be spent here. But as it stands, unless that's in there, I would not be in favor of that. I'll follow Wesley's lead on that one, right? Take care, and have a good time. If I don't see you for a little while, that's possible. So Measure Z, everybody get out there and vote for Measure Z. Put that money and sand in our sandbox. Thank you.
There you go. With that, I'll close public comment. And as we all know, Ryan, if it's a good idea they all showed up, because if you're not at the table, you're not going to get anything to eat. So with that, I'll close the meeting. We're adjourned. Thank you. What? Did you want to talk, Charlie?